Okay. Need me to clap?
Not this time.
Not this time. Okay.
Go Wheeler.
I like that. Yay! Yay, Jason Whiteley's not here. That's terrible.
Go team! Go team!
And that will be the beginning of the podcast. In the intro place.
We should use that as the beginning, shouldn't we?
Y'all, this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Are we on? Are we going? Okay, well, we just did this clap ahead of time.
My inner cheerleader's coming out.
Yeah. So Teresa Woodard's with us this week, as you can hear.
And
she just did some clapping beforehand, and then I made an off-color remark about, you know, we're clapping because Jason Whiteley's not here, and now we're using this. So, man, sorry. We're off to a great start.
Sorry, Jason Whiteley.
Sorry, not sorry. So, Teresa, I'm glad that you're here with us this week. I always love when you're here.
Well, that's very kind. It's been more than a minute. It's been a hot minute since I was on Y'allitics.
Which I don't understand, because we have had, I mean, how many times has Whiteley been off? Just this year. I mean, I think I've got it hash marked at my desk. At least six or seven. See, Daryl is backing this up. I'm not just making this up.
No.
It's been a lot of times, and I don't know why you haven't been with me on those weeks. I think I've been alone, which is probably not good for viewership or listenership.
At your beck and call. Next time you call,
from now on, you know, the next 10 times that Whiteley's off, I'm bringing you in. I actually brought out three beers to choose from. Daryl, our producer here, picked these up recently when he was in Central Texas. And so, you know, we're kind of dabbling down in the Central Texas region.
We love that.
We've got Blanco represented here, Hill Country Bock. We've got the Family Business Beer. That one's from Dripping Springs. And we've got an Amber. This is from Fredericksburg, from the Altstadt Brewery.
Okay.
So we got Amber, we got Golden Age German Style Pilsner, and we've got a Bock.
I'm game for any of them. You know, I am an Aggie. I drink any kind of beer that comes
right,
in front of me.
All right, I'm going to just sip them around, and you tell me you want the middle, left, or right.
Okay, I'm not looking. I'll take whatever's in the middle.
Okay, in the middle, you've got Fredericksburg
there
represented from
Altstadt.
I am going to try, I guess, the Golden Age German-style Pilsner.
All right.
Because Oktoberfest is over, but whatever. Well,
Oktoberfest
I'm always
isn't
late
over.
Anyway. Isn't it? Doesn't it end in September?
What?
I think it starts like the end of September.
Okay, okay. Maybe it's still going. Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for being with us this week.
Thanks for inviting me.
Mm. And boy, what a week. You picked an interesting week to step in, because I know that you did the show for WFAA
Inside Texas Politics. Yeah.
Jason knows the weeks to take off, I think.
Somehow he always does.
It's phenomenal. I guess if you take enough weeks off, it's just going to happen to where you miss a lot of these big things like this.
It works that way.
It's like he knew that we were headed toward a shutdown, but I think that this one had been telegraphed for a while, and I think a lot
for
of people saw this coming.
Yeah.
So you've been talking to different representatives here in Texas about what's happening. We are, you know, just into the beginning stages of this shutdown. Nobody knows how long this is going to last. The longest one, at least according to NPR, was 2018-2019, went for 34 days.
I believe that's what I heard as well.
And that was in the first Trump administration. Mm-hmm. That was the longest shutdown we've had. You get the feeling when you talk to some folks that this one could be up there.
Could be, but I will say, you'll hear more of these interviews, but when we spoke with Congressman Jake Elzey from Midlothian, his sort of crystal ball tells him the next round of paychecks come out October 15th, and he doesn't think that they're going to want to go that far. But
I like
we
that he went there. I like that Representative Elzey at least went there, because a lot of times you'll ask politicians to, you know, give that crystal ball prediction. I'm not getting into that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to predict anything.
True.
Interesting thing here is that we've got all of these workers furloughed across the country. Many federal workers doing their jobs still. But won't be getting a paycheck right now. I was looking at USA Today. They sort of map all of this out. Texas has the fourth highest number of federal employees behind D.C., Virginia, California. We have 130,686 of them here in Texas. So that's a
lot of folks.
Fair representation there. And a good number of those people, you know, are going to be doing their jobs without pay right now. You know, they'll get it later, but, you know, it's hard to tell the mortgage company that.
Yeah, and we've also heard threats that this could be a chance for them to never come back because their jobs could be eliminated. And we don't know what's going to happen.
Which is a wrinkle that we have not seen
before. Usually it's just a furlough, but now we're talking about a potential layoff.
Yeah, the Trump administration floating that idea out there that they could use this as an opportunity to cut more of the federal workforce. Democrats pushing hard, pushing back hard on that. We'll see if that comes to fruition, but it seems like we've been hearing that threat getting, mm-hmm. you know, sort of amplified over the past several days. So we start off speaking with Mark Vesey, the Democrat here in North Texas, mm-hmm. And his thoughts about this. Of course, he's in the House. The House passed this continuing resolution.
Right, to keep the government open.
To keep the government open.
But VC voted against it.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of Democratic support in
that.
So this was, you know, tossed over to the Senate side. And so Representative VC, along with everyone in the House, is sitting and watching what the Senate is doing right mm-hmm. now. And he supports where Senate Democrats are on this.
He supports what Senate Democrats are doing. He is saying this is absolutely about the cost of health care. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are saying Democrats are just trying to stick it to the administration. But no, VC sticks to his guns and says this is absolutely about the cost of health care for my constituents in North Texas.
And Republicans have come out in recent days with a talking point that, you know, basically Democrats are trying to stick it to the Trump administration and shut the government down. And they want health care for illegals, for people who are in the country undocumented.
Yeah, yeah. Which
Democrats are saying that is not at all true. We're not trying to, we can't.
It's against the law to provide health care coverage to someone who is in the country illegally.
And basically, they're taking this stand right now because we've had these cuts from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, as mm-hmm. it's called. To Medicaid, they want to do something about that. They want to restore money that has been pulled by the Trump administration.
Right. There are subsidies that help cover the cost of the Affordable Care Act,
and that's
which basically makes it more affordable for families. Millions of people take advantage of that in Texas.
Yeah, that's a real big thing, and that fight has been we've been nearing that fight because those credits are expected to expire
by the end of this year.
Yeah. And they're pretty generous credits to, you know, help people to afford insurance through the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, proponents of keeping those credits say that keeps all of our health insurance costs down, because if you have a lot of people who fall off of the ACA and don't have insurance anymore, they still go for medical care. It's just uninsured medical care. And then that cost is passed along. The hospital doesn't just eat that.
You
know, doctor's office doesn't just eat that. They pass it along, and then we see our premiums go up for those of us
who are lucky to have health insurance do get impacted by that.
So here's the thing. Texas, of course, is a very, you know, red state, or has been for a long time, at least according to election results. And we've seen, though, that in the past, you know, 5 years or so, the Affordable Care Act, signing up through the marketplace, has become a very popular thing mm-hmm. in this red state. Back in 2021, we had 1,291,972 people sign up, so almost 1.3 million people. This past year, last year, when the signups were had, we had 3,966,226. So, you know, from 1.3 million to 4 million.
And those are new signups.
Yeah, those are new. And you got to, you know, renew this every year. And so what you're looking at there is, you know, a lot of the reason for that increase is that in, you know, during the pandemic, they did increase these subsidies to try to get more people onto insurance so that they were covered as we were going through that extraordinary time. And that is going to be expiring, as we said, at the end of this year. Democrats saying we got to continue to offer these credits because we've got to keep people on health insurance. So there is a real battle for the hearts and minds of voters right now that's happening between Democrats and Republicans, staking out their positions on this mm-hmm. and saying, you know, Democrats saying we're taking a stand to protect health care, Republicans saying nah, you know, they're just trying to, you know, gum up the works in D.C. because it's a Republican control across the board.
And expand coverage to people who are in the country illegally. That is, again, their big talking point.
Yeah. Which, again, Democrats say totally untrue, not even something we can do by law.
Yeah.
So we start with the Democrat this week, Mark Vesey from Fort Worth. You spoke with him just the other day.
Yeah.
And you didn't just keep it to the shutdown. There's a lot going on.
It's true. We talked to Mark Vesey about the shutdown, also about the congressional map that was passed by state lawmakers over the summer. That's now in court in El Paso with a panel of three judges determining if that's actually going to go into effect for the next election cycle, which will determine what position Mark Vesey might run for if he still has a district that he can run in. Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. Congressman Vesey, thanks for being with us this morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Why did you vote against keeping the government open? Why did you vote against the continuing resolution?
I voted against the continuing resolution because it's going to cause thousands and thousands of people in the DFW Metroplex to lose their health care coverage. And that's unacceptable to me, that people in really rich places like Highland Park and Westover Hills and Fort Worth will be able to keep their insurance. But the guy that owns a dry cleaners or a garage and is trying to take care of his family and keep affordable health care insurance, that he won't be able to keep his, and he'll have to get all of his treatment done at the emergency room at Parkland or JPS. That's just unacceptable to me.
There are a lot of Republicans who are saying right now that the government is being shut down and because Democrats want to give health care to people who are in this country illegally. How do you respond to that claim from the Republican Party?
Oh, no, I think that's the most dishonest thing that they've said in this entire debate. They know that there's no one in this country that is receiving any of these healthcare tax credits, or if you want to go all the way back to the big ugly bill, Medicaid in this country that's undocumented. They absolutely know that.
Couldn't Democrats have said, okay, we'll go ahead and fund the government, but we're going to keep negotiating on healthcare? I guess my question to you is this only about healthcare, or is it also about your party trying to stand up to the president?
This is about health care. This is about people that live, again, in the district that I represent, where you have thousands of people, over 40,000 people in District 33 alone, that will lose their coverage or see their coverage increase if we don't do something about these tax credits, these health tax credits, and get them restored. And so this, to me, this is about health care. We already have close to a million people, or already over a million people total in the DFW area that don't have insurance. Why would we want to exacerbate that?
The new congressional map passed in Texas is being debated in court right now in El Paso. That will certainly impact you. Have you made any decisions about what next year is going to look like for you when it comes to what you're going to run for?
I'm like everybody else. I'm waiting to see what is going to happen with this decision. I feel very confident that if the Supreme Court is going to uphold the law, that we're going to be victorious when it comes to this case. And of course, that'll give everybody clarity on where they're running, what they're doing, not just me, but I do plan on running for re-election and being a member of Congress going into 2026. I feel very confident in this trial and planning on running for re-election, period, end of story.
So you feel confident that the map that was passed won't go into effect?
I don't believe that it will. I think that we're going to win this case.
Representative Mark Vesey, thank you so much for your time. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thank you.
All right. Listening to that gave us a chance to both take a swig here. And both of us agree that we really like our beers. Again, I'm having Family Business from the Family Business Beer Company, the Golden Age.
This is an amber from Allstadt, and it is born in Fredericksburg. I really like it.
Fredericksburg produces some really good things. I love that place.
That's true.
So we just heard from Congressman Vesey there, who sounds like, he's undeterred by these maps. Whether or not the maps stand, he's going to keep going.
He says he believes this map is going to fail. The new map that was passed over the summer, he does not believe will be in effect for the midterm elections in 2026. So he believes he's going to run. in the district he currently serves. He's running for reelection.
Boy, that plot would really thicken if that goes that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we don't know. This hearing is expected to go for a week and a half or so. It's out in El Paso. It's all mucked up because there's also the lawsuit over the 2021 redistricting.
We're not even done with that one.
No, we're not. But it is going to be interesting to see what comes out. They're on a tight timeline, too, Jason. They got to figure this thing out because people need to know what they're going to run for. Mm-hmm. The filing deadlines are coming. Of course, they could change that. They could change the primary even if they have to, if they need a little bit more time to sort all of this out. But I am really watching what's coming out of El Paso.
Boy, these are crazy and busy days in politics. So we'll put a pin in that huge thing and keep on watching that. Mm-hmm. Back to this discussion about the shutdown that continues now, that started this past week. You know, we talked at the top about these numbers of signups that we've seen in Texas where, I mean, it's just exploded. And it's not just Texas. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of states we've seen the numbers increasing where people have been signing up for the Affordable Care Act, including some, you know, big red states, Texas, mm-hmm. Florida, routinely leading the country in the number of signups there. And, you know, KFF, the Kaiser Family Foundation, has been putting out numbers and sort of crunching this and trying to figure out how many people in Texas out of that roughly 4 million who signed up this past time around last year for the ACA coverage, how many of those people will fall off mm-hmm. of being able to afford insurance or be able to get insurance through the ACA if these credits that make it cheaper go away mm-hmm. like they're expected to at the end of the year unless they're extended by Congress, which is a big reason for this shutdown right now. Democrats just digging in on that issue. And so they've determined that quite a few people here in Texas would go without insurance.
Yeah, and I put some of those numbers to our next guest, Congressman Jake Elzey from Midlothian. Mm. I was looking at a study from Texas A&M, an independent study that was predicting how many people could see their prices go up, how many could potentially lose health insurance as well. So I asked him, you know, if that matters to him. Congressman Elzey, thanks for being with us this morning. Good to see you in person.
Good to be with you.
So Republicans are framing this as purely a Democratic government shutdown. However, you know, your party controls the Senate, the House, and the White House. Do Republicans bear no responsibility here?
I always answer the spending bills issue this way, 60. It doesn't matter what we do in the House, which we already passed. We did our jobs. The Senate, for a spending bill, which is what a CR is and the appropriations bills are, require 60 votes. There are 53 Republicans, 52 typically vote for these bills. One from Kentucky does not. So we need Democrat votes. And the Democrats in the past have said a government shutdown is terrible for the economy. It's terrible for national security. Amy Klobuchar went so far as to say shutting down the government should not be a negotiating tactic. And that was in the first Trump administration. So no, this is fully the responsibility of Hakeem Jeffries and Senator Chuck Schumer, who are from New York, who are facing a left-wing revolt.
Democrats have said this is actually all about health care. And I want to read you some numbers. A study from Texas A&M said that more than 4 million Texans will face higher health insurance prices next year. They say up to 800,000 are likely to lose insurance because they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So what would be wrong with extending the subsidies that do make the Affordable Care Act more affordable?
I think the senators are having that conversation right now, but a clean CR to keep the government open to continue to negotiate appropriations bills is what we're talking about right now. And whether people like it or not, they're trying to extend the COVID area subsidies that are going straight to the healthcare insurance companies, as well as benefits for non-U.S. citizens.
Let's talk about what's open, what's not, how this could impact veterans.
Thank you very much for bringing that up. Veterans healthcare is still wide open. All the clinics, all the hospitals, all emergent care is available right now, as are all the economic benefits, paychecks, disability payments, educational benefits. They're all going to continue because those are on advanced appropriations. And I'd like to just point out that if anybody needs help and they're a veteran or a family member of a veteran who's worried about this shutdown, call 988 and press 1 or call my office 202-225-2002. And thanks for bringing up the veterans.
On the topic of the military, of veterans, I do want to ask you, as a combat veteran, did you think it was appropriate for the government to fly all of the top-ranking officials in the military to Quantico to hear from Secretary Hegseth and President Trump?
Once I heard what he had to say, I absolutely agreed with what was going on. Nobody knew what that meeting was going to be about. They kept a very tight lid on it. But he reset the expectations of the Department of Defense, which they are calling the War Department. Officially, it's still DOD, but they want to call it the War Department. And we are manning, training, and equipment to fight and win wars. And he's resetting what the expectations are under this administration, lest there be anybody who has any question about what they are here to do. And it was approximately 800 general and flag officers and their senior enlisted advisors. I think it was a good reset, and I liked what I had to hear.
You mentioned a moment ago the Department of Defense. Some are calling it the Department of War. I understand it would take congressional action to actually change the name. Where do you come down on that?
I believe that it should be the War Department. I think that if that is our goal, and you know, going back into the past, when was it the War Department? Up until about 80 years ago, and then the reorganization of the Department of Defense made it the DOD. So it's officially still DOD. They're not replacing or spending any money on changing the letterhead, but it's very clear. And in a time of world conflict, four dictators threatening World War III, like four dictators caused World War II in the 40s, we are saying to them, we are prepared. You better not start anything because we will be able to respond decisively.
Final thing for you. Clearly, you're here in person. Do you feel like the shutdown is going to last a while? You don't feel like it's imminent for you to need to be back in D.C. to end this thing?
I think that all the troops got paid and all our federal employees got paid on the 30th. The next paycheck is the 15th. I don't believe this is going to last until the 15th. And I think every day that we're shut down, the likelihood of Republicans keeping the House in 2026 increases. So I think the shutdown will be short-lived and will reopen shortly.
Representative Elzey, good to see you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
So that's an interesting take on the shutdown, that Republicans are gaining ground and getting stronger going into the midterms for every single day that this thing lasts.
Of course, Democrats will tell you the same thing in reverse.
Totally.
They believe that. They believe that some of the early polling bears that out. It's always hard to tell. And then you wonder, too, sometimes, is it a wash? Like, does it really not help anybody? Does it?
Yeah. And we live in such a siloed universe,
polarized
now,
times.
Yeah, that if you, I mean, depending on what social media algorithm you're being served up,
right,
is what you think is that helps you determine who's winning the messaging war.
Yeah, if you're hardcore Republican or Democrat, I don't think you're changing your mind. No. based upon the messaging of the other party.
Yeah.
In this, maybe,
yeah,
they're, you know, hoping that independents,
yeah,
you know, might swing one way or the other in this.
And the other part about the conversation with Congressman Elzey, besides the shutdown, is him saying, absolutely, I agree with everything that Secretary Hegseth said during that historic military meeting at Quantico.
Yeah, which Democrats just excoriated,
yeah,
the president and the Secretary of Defense, mm-hmm, for that meeting.
And Elzey was a Navy, he was in the Navy for 20 years. You know, he cares deeply, you just heard, about veterans' issues.
So last in line here, we're talking to Beth Van Dyne, the, mm-hmm, Congresswoman from the Irving
yeah,
area. And, you know, she's several terms in here, and, you know, she has her own take on this shutdown. But you specifically talked to her about, you know, some of the financial numbers.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
because
she's on Ways and Means.
Yeah, we can't forget that, you know, when you have a shutdown,
yeah,
these are real people involved in this who, yeah, are not getting
not
their paychecks.
Getting paychecks,
and some of them may permanently lose paychecks.
And that's sort of an interesting quandary, I think, you know, for some of these members of Congress, because this could end up with their constituents losing jobs permanently. Beth Van Dyne, like I said, is on Ways and Means, but she also has DFW Airport is inside her congressional district. So we asked her about, you know, safety and efficiency, mm-hmm, because TSA and air traffic control is now working without a paycheck. Representative Beth Van Dyne, thank you for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time as always.
Great to be with you. I appreciate you. Appreciate you having me on.
On the White House homepage, they posted a ticking clock that says, quote, Democrats have shut down the government. My question for you is, should your voters not hold Republicans responsible at all?
Well, look, I think most of my voters aren't even going to know that we're in a government shutdown, to be quite honest with you. Republicans did not want a shutdown. You know, especially Republicans in the House, we voted for a clean, simple CR. The president has tried to negotiate a clean, simple CR, which is something that Democrats have voted for over a dozen times. And that's at the expense of, you know, again, 1.3 million active military members not getting their pay. Thousands and thousands of Homeland Security and and CBP folks and Coast Guard people not getting their pay, 100,000 federal law enforcement officers not getting paid.
You talked about people who are not getting paid. Add to the list TSA, air traffic controllers. Clearly, they continue to work.
13,000 air traffic controllers. Yeah.
DFW Airport is part of your congressional district. What steps are you taking to make sure that, you know, safety remains top of mind, efficiency as well?
This is the problem with the government shutdown, is Congress basically relinquishes all control of the agencies to the executive branch. And that's what's happening. But I think, you know, we've had enough conversations with folks like Russ Vogt, with the president, with J.D. Vance. They understand they do not want the American people to have to take the punishment of Democrats shutting down the government. And so they are prioritizing those forward-facing agencies like TSA, like Social Security, like VA, and making sure that they're getting as many resources as possible. But at some point in time, if this goes on, you know, they're going to have to rethink. And I think that's what you're seeing Russ Vogt, you know, talk about now is, and the president talk about now is right framing, right sizing the government and taking this opportunity, if Democrats are going to hand it to him, to actually have, you know, potential layoffs.
You're a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. I'm sure when you go out and speak to your constituents, you hear the same type of thing that news reporters hear. And that is that a lot of people are just saying the cost of living is high. Prices are going up. It is hard to afford to live in North Texas right now. Do you see any relief in sight for prices and affordability for North Texans?
Quite honestly, what we're hearing, too, is people are looking for new job opportunities, which is why, as you know, one of the things that we do to be able to respond to that is have a job fair. We saw over 35,000 people, 35,000 North Texans attend this, because it's one thing to pass a bill that has work requirements for things like Medicaid, but it's quite another to be a member of Congress and to come home and say, not only are we going to have work requirements, but we're going to help you find a job. But look, people are hurting. I think this is why you are seeing Congress respond and Congress act. As you mentioned, I'm on the Ways and Means Committee. One of the things that we've been working on for the last 2.5 years was that working families tax cut bill to make sure that we are bringing businesses back. We are onshoring them after they've gotten kicked out to places like China, Vietnam, Thailand, Taiwan. We want to bring those jobs back.
Representative Beth Van Dyne, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne there talking about jobs and, mm-hmm. and an interesting, you know, mixed bag of job discussion, you know,
yeah.
about job fairs for folks right now who are looking. And, you know, I've heard from quite a few people just because I do, you know, this series of reports. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here, right on the money. You know, particularly, you know, for certain age groups, too, it's been a really hard job market.
I have heard that, too.
And
yeah.
so the kind of job fair that she's, you know, putting out there and has been doing for several years, I know that's a big deal for a lot of people.
Oh, it's a passion project for her. And she says they're seeing great success.
Yeah. I mean, even if you can get, you know, a couple of people lined up yeah. with work at one of these, that's been a success already. And again, they have a lot of people who come out to this. They've had to keep expanding the venue where they put it. So
I think she said 35,000 at
yeah,
the last one.
It's kind of stunning when you think about it. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side of that, you know, the discussion about this real possibility that we're seeing that the Trump administration might use this shutdown when Congress is, kind of out of the loop and the federal government is, you know, sitting there at a standstill in many cases, to let
yep.
more people go
yeah.
from the federal government, which we've already seen a lot of.
Yeah, and, you know, the Trump administration has said, thank you, Democrats, for giving us this power to do this. Because one thing that Congresswoman Van Dyne said is, during a shutdown, we sort of give all the power away to the executive branch. And so they can do this right now. Hmm. They can say, oh, guess what? We furloughed you. You're not coming back. Hmm. We have proven that we can get through a shutdown. We have proven that you're not essential.
Hmm.
So there could be permanent layoffs that come out of this.
So we'll see. We'll see. Does this one keep on going, or does it go like Representative Elzey believes, and we see a conclusion to this
yeah.
fairly quickly? Who bends here? Is there a negotiated, settlement yeah. at the end? We know that some senators from both parties have been talking about this, but how close are they, and what do we see come out of this? And what happens with health care for millions and millions of Americans, either way that this goes?
Right.
You know, Democrats pushing to get this done now to where, those credits are maintained so that more people can stay on insurance and we don't see premiums just go through the roof. You know, Republicans saying, hey, we can have that talk afterwards and do that later.
And the question Democrats have is, can we trust you?
Right.
Are you going, should we really trust that we're going to negotiate this later?
Yeah, they said, you know, does later mean never?
Right.
You know,
and
so there's this battle back and forth, but health care is going to be here front and center throughout, I think, this shutdown and possibly beyond this shutdown.
Probably into the midterm elections.
Yeah.
This is at least one of the issues that people are going to try to run on.
And today, as it stands right now, you know, even, you know, without, you know, an end to these health care credits for the ACA, Texas is the most uninsured state in the country. Even though we've had these enormous increases in signups under the Affordable Care Act, KFF, again, Kaiser Family Foundation, they track all of this stuff. The latest numbers, this stuff lags a lot just because it's hard to get all of that data in from the federal government, but their latest numbers showed just under 5 million Texans without insurance, about 16% of the population.
That's a high number.
Yeah, again, that may have, you know, been ameliorated a little bit in the past couple of years because we've seen more people signing up under the ACA, and again, those numbers lag, but it just gives you an idea that, you know, Texas is by far the most uninsured state in the country. So a lot of people here, I think, are going to be watching this for that reason.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, whether it happens during this shutdown or after this shutdown, that's going to be a big issue that people are watching.
And we're going to keep monitoring it and keep covering it and keep talking about it.
Thanks, as always, for being with us here this week. I love that we got to do the Central Texas tour of beers. Daryl, do we have more of these that you picked up? Okay, Daryl is amazing. He, like, loads up a carload of beer when he goes out on road trips. So, you know, Jason Whiteley, just stay gone. Teresa and I will keep enjoying these, and I'll have a new selection next time for you to choose from. And you can, you know, close your eyes, and I'll mix them up, and you just tell me the one on the left.
I love that idea.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.